Today is Thursday, May 23rd, and today we're talking about why President Trump stormed out of a meeting and says he'll refuse to work with Democrats, and what to watch for in the world's largest election. Plus, what to know about changes to the $20 bill, a new way to bury loved ones, and how NASA plans to take people to Mars. Then hang out after the news for today's Thing to Know Thursday bonus interview, all about those popular e-scooters. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. President Trump is refusing to work with Democrats until they stop investigating him. He and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi were supposed to meet yesterday to continue a bipartisan plan on infrastructure, but the meeting only lasted 3 minutes. The reason? Trump walked out, saying Pelosi accused him of being part of a cover-up. Remember, the White House has been pushing back on every subpoena Democrats have issued. President Trump says Democrats cannot investigate him and talk policy. So the New York Times reports he demanded they stop the, quote, phony investigations, and he won't work with them until they do. But Pelosi has a different theory on why the president walked out of the meeting. The AP says she thinks Trump bailed because he didn't know how to pay for the infrastructure plan. She thinks the president, quote, ran away. President Trump's financial records are now two steps closer to becoming public, even as the president continues to fight to keep them private. For one, the state of New York just passed a bill that means Trump's state tax returns can be released to Congress, assuming the governor signs it. Keep in mind, New York is Trump's home state and his business headquarters. And then a federal judge ruled a bank must comply with a subpoena to release Trump's records. It's the second federal judge to rule against the president within just a few days. The Trump family lawyers are expected to appeal. He's known as the American Taliban, and he's set to be released from prison today. It's the nickname for John Walker Lind, who was sentenced to 20 years behind bars on terrorism-related charges. He's getting out 3 years early. CNN says he's an American that was captured in Afghanistan right after the September 11th attacks. He was part of the attack that killed the first American in the war in Afghanistan. Now the Washington Post reports the daughter of the CIA officer killed calls this early release a slap in the face to her father and everyone killed on 9/11. Lind was held in federal prison in Indiana, where Fox News says inmates often get out early for good behavior. Now he'll be on probation for the next 3 years, where he'll be monitored, get counseling, and won't be able to leave the country. But The Atlantic reports he's the first of dozens of Americans convicted of terrorism who will have served their time and will be released over the next 5 years. It's the world's largest election ever. CNN says 900 million people in India were eligible to vote in a process that took 6 weeks. And today, the official results will come in. Exit polls predict Prime Minister Narendra Modi will win again and start a new 5-year term. But some analysts warn polls have been wrong in the past. The BBC says the biggest issue for this election is the economy, with fears growing that India is heading for a recession. India is the world's sixth largest economy. And by the way, the European Parliament elections start today, and then the results from Every Nation Voting will be released the night of May 26th. Don't expect to see Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill anytime soon. Her photo was supposed to replace Andrew Jackson on the 20 as soon as next year. The timing was meant to go along with the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. But now CNBC reports it's delayed, and the new design won't be revealed until at least 2028. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin made the announcement this week, saying U.S. currency is being redesigned, but only for counterfeiting issues. Cue plenty of criticism. Some lawmakers say this sends a sad message to women and girls and communities of color that this is not a priority. They say symbols and representation do matter. Tubman escaped slavery, then went back to the South to lead other slaves to freedom. She later advocated for women's voting rights. The plan for a new design featuring Tubman was announced back in 2016. The Treasury Secretary at that time said it was based on months of input from the public, where thousands of Americans supported the change. But Trump was not one of them. He said back then he thought it was just about being politically correct, and he does not think it's necessary. Now, even if it does happen, it'll be when Trump is no longer in office. So much more news still ahead, but first, thank you to today's sponsor, the American Beverage Association, for making today's show possible. And thanks to America's beverage companies for working together to support families as they reduce the sugar in their diets. Coke, Dr. Pepper, and Pepsi are providing more great-tasting options with less sugar or no sugar at all, putting clear calorie labels on every product, and working with public health organizations and other national and local partners to build stronger, healthier communities. With more choices, smaller portions, and less sugar, American families can find the balance that's right for them. You can learn more about how these three competitors are working together at BalanceUS.org. That's BalanceUS.org. Now back to the news. Would you like to go to Mars? Now you can. Well, at least your name can. NASA says it's giving people the chance to have their names put on the rover that will be sent to Mars next year. The names would be etched on microchips and they'll be super small. You'd also get a souvenir boarding pass and so-called frequent flyer points. It's meant to be a way to get people excited about the historic mission. CNN says the rover would lay the groundwork for humans to eventually explore the red planet. It will also study Mars's climate and makeup. So far, 1 million names have been submitted. If you want in, go to mars.nasa.gov. 23andMe and Airbnb are working together now to plan your next trip. 23andMe is a large genetic testing company, and it just announced the results of your DNA test will now come with suggestions for travel, listing Airbnb rentals and experiences in the countries your ancestors are from. Vox says it's all part of a popular trend right now called heritage travel. In fact, Quartz reports Ancestry DNA and Go Ahead Tours already offer something similar. Washington is now the first state to legalize human composting. As strange as this sounds, supporters say it's an eco-friendly way to bury loved ones. The Seattle Times reports the process involves wood chips, straw, and other materials and takes about 4 weeks. It basically speeds up the process of turning bodies into soil. Then family members can keep the soil in an urn or use it to plant flowers or trees. Supporters say that if enough people choose this option, it could slow pollution and cut down on the demand for burial space. The law allowing it goes into effect next May. It looks like self-driving cars and two-legged robots could work together to deliver your packages. Business Insider says carmaker Ford is working with a robot company to make this happen, hoping to sell these full-service driverless vans to companies like Domino's and Postmates that deliver all the time. The idea is to have a self-driving car drive to the destination, and then the robot gets out of the car and walks the package to the front door. The robot, named Digit, is still a work in progress, but TechCrunch says a final design could come out this fall. The world's first vertical theme park is set to open soon. The Daily Mail says the park will open in China, and it has more than 25 rides and virtual reality experiences all packed into a 10-story building. And all of the rides will be based on popular Lionsgate movies, including Twilight, The Hunger Games, and Divergent. Lionsgate says it decided to build its first theme park in China to expand the brand, since movies like Twilight are so popular there. The theme park is part of a larger tourist destination, which is still in the works, but the park is set to open this summer. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. This week, we're talking about electric scooters that have been popping up in more and more cities around the country and even the world, and what you need to know about them before your next ride. Earlier this month, the CDC released the results of a new major study about scooter-related injuries. They say injuries are happening at a pretty alarming rate, and that many are actually preventable. So today, I'm talking with Dr. Tarek Trivedi. He's an emergency physician at UCLA Health and a fellow in the National Clinician Scholars Program. He also researched e-scooter injuries after seeing an uptick of injuries in his own ER. So today he's sharing what he found and why e-scooter companies are now coming to him to make their scooters safer. Here's my conversation with Dr. Tarek Trivedi. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
All right, thanks for having me.
So first, I would love to learn a little bit more about why you decided to study e-scooter accidents in the first place, and what was the main finding or perhaps the most surprising thing that you found?
Sure. So the reason we decided to look into them is we were sort of at the epicenter of where the scooters were rolled out. I just moved to Santa Monica at the time in Southern California, and I'd been living here maybe for 2 to 3 months before the electric scooters sort of started popping up everywhere in my neighborhood. And then within a few months, I started seeing a number of injuries in the emergency department where I work at UCLA. It was sort of a new phenomenon, and we were sort of interested in understanding the types of injuries and the types of patients that were experiencing these injuries. And that's kind of why we decided to look into them. We found pretty much some of what we expected, that, you know, very few patients were wearing helmets at the time of their injuries, despite the fact that these scooters go up to 15 miles an hour. And I think the other surprising finding was that nearly 40% of the people who ended up coming to the emergency department actually had a head injury.
Yeah, and when you're talking about head injuries, in other words, it can be pretty serious.
Absolutely. While a majority of the head injuries that we had, people got lucky, there were a number of people who were not so lucky and ended up having some pretty severe traumatic brain injuries.
But really, these e-scooters are popular because they're meant to be like a quick and easy mode of transportation. So do you think it's realistic that people will start wearing helmets? And if so, how long is it going to take and what is it going to take?
I think we're going to need a shift in culture. I agree with you completely, by the way. I think that the sort of way in which people use electric scooters is not really amenable to helmet use. People sort of grab them and go. They go to dinner. They go out. And I think we're going to need some help from the scooter companies themselves in terms of changing the culture. You know, the example that I always get when I talk to people in the helmet industry, there's a number of different companies that are out there that are trying to do innovative things with helmets. They always refer to the example of skiing. And they say, you know, 10 years, if you were out there on the slopes and on the mountains going skiing, you see almost no one wear a helmet. And then I think after a few high-profile deaths and a lot of publicity, that sort of totally changed. And now, sort of, if you go skiing at a lot of places, you're sort of the odd one out if you're not wearing a helmet. And so we just need to reach that transition point.
What do you say to people who might say, look, there are car accidents, there are bike accidents, it just is what comes along with modes of transportation? Isn't it the same with e-scooters as they become more popular?
I think that's accurate to a degree. And I think it says a lot about what we need to do to make the roads safer in general. You know, I'm a cyclist. I bicycle to work, and sometimes I take the scooters to work. Always wearing a helmet, of course. But I think that the CDC numbers showed us that I think it was 20 injuries per 100,000 rides. That's significantly more than both car accidents and bicycle accidents. And that might be part of it, the fact that it's just a new technology and people are sort of getting used to it right now. But I think there are a number of things that can be done to make this a safer mode of transportation, at least with education and potentially with, you know, keeping the equipment sort of mechanical problem free, in the sense that, you know, sticky brakes and accelerators. I mean, these things are being used again and again and again by multiple different people. Maintenance of the vehicles is probably something that's difficult to do. And so that might play a role in this as well. And so I think in summary, yes, that it is just part of, you know, transportation is that we're going to see injuries. But I think right now the rates are a little bit higher than for traditional modes of transportation.
I know there's been some criticism that when they first launched, it was all just about the marketing and no safety.
Yeah, I think that, you know, like with any new form of technology, they sort of got blindsided by the number of injuries that would happen. I think that the scooter companies are trying, but they could certainly do far, far more. One of the companies actually, interestingly, has approached us and they want to work on an incentive program with helmet use. And so that's something that, you know, we're going to be exploring and trying to see if we can create incentives within the app itself to get people to wear more helmets.
And you can follow Dr. Trivedi on Twitter at Tarek Trivedi or read more about his study and this topic in today's show notes. You'll find all the links to that and all the stories we talked about in this episode on thenewsworthy.com. Just click episodes and then look for today's date. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for all the support of the show. You help make it possible simply by letting others know why they should be listening too. And as always, The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. So we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.